And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Manuel Goldstein here with you. Hey, we are in China. Oh my goodness, look at this. We're standing in Tiananmen Square. It's a beautiful evening. And guys, we actually did it. Hanukkah, Sasha, we took the Trans-Siberian Express and we made it all the way through. We are in Beijing. We're standing here and we haven't killed each other yet. So I think the trip is a success, don't you?
I definitely think so, yeah. I was kind of looking up to it, not so much up to it, but before we started, it's kind of like, oh, train, long way, it's kind of nice going to be to go to a lot of different countries, but no, I did really well and survived, and yeah, really glad we went.
What do you think of China so far?
It's very interesting. It's a lot more Western and modern than you'd expect, and I also think it's really strange that they probably accomplished the Westernization in like the last 10, 15 years or 10 years, because it looks a lot more Western than in Russia even. And
looks a lot more Western than New York in some places. I mean,
yeah,
this is totally flabbergasted me. I mean, I expected in Hong Kong or something, or in Taiwan, to see this kind of commercialization, but this is Beijing. This is the capital of what we used to call Red China. And yet, it's so incredibly commercialized. There's McDonald's everywhere. There's KFC on every corner, it seems. I even saw a Starbucks before. And I didn't go in it, obviously.
We walked past the Beijing Rolls-Royce dealer today, which also kind of surprised me.
You know, I expected a city filled with people riding bicycles, you know, kind of primitive. Not, you know, too primitive, but, you know, something like that. And I'm just kind of surprised. I'm not exactly sure how this happened or what it means, but it's pretty cool. What do you think, Hanukkah?
I think it's very interesting. On one hand, you see this real communist big buildings and the big squares like the one we're standing on right now, and the real old things like we went to the Forbidden City today, the old palaces from the emperor from 1406, really beautiful and very nice. And then there's like the third level, the very modern today city with cars riding around and big shopping malls. And I haven't seen so many shopping malls on one street as here, ever.
Yeah, multiple shopping malls on a single street and done in really weird ways too. You went to one yesterday. What did it have on one floor?
On what? What? I don't...
The shopping mall. It had an unusual thing on the shopping mall.
On the basement level, it had an ice rink.
Yes.
And there actually was really interesting. It was just not one like on Rockefeller Square where there's people just skating around, but there's actually instructors teaching little kids to do figure skating and doing so pretty well, actually.
The entire floor taken up by an ice rink. You wouldn't see that in
pretty surprised by it.
Yeah.
Especially because it's pretty hot and humid out right now.
And I went to a mall yesterday. I'm not proud of the fact that I went to a mall, but, you know, all right, I'll confess, I even went to McDonald's. I just wanted to see what it was like, okay? And I even got some fries and a large Coke, okay? Because here I am, I've been traveling around for all these weeks, and I had the opportunity to get something with ice in it. And I got to say, the people here really appreciate ice. I like that. I like the fact that you can walk around and buy a bottle of water, and it's frozen. And you shake it all day long and it melts slowly. You know how rare that is to find people who appreciate ice? Most places it's lukewarm, you know, and it's not at all cold. And it's torture. But this is really...
They only freeze the bottles of mineral water, not the rest of it. But it's good that you can basically buy frozen mineral water at every street corner. And that's one of the bigger problems in a lot of cities in the East, I think. If it's really hot and you can't buy anything cold to drink, it's just unbearable.
Seems that way.
But it's very funny to see everybody walking around with the frozen mineral water, banging it onto something to crush the ice to get some more water out of it. Because if you're halfway your bottle, you really have to wait to get some more water.
But you know it's coming. You know it's coming because it's like, what, 30 degrees Celsius in the daytime here at least. Mm-hmm. So it's always hot. It's muggy. Although, you know, we've been walking around a lot in the city. And I haven't suffered as much as I thought I was going to suffer walking around the heat and humidity, probably because it's just so fascinating looking at all the different things that are going on, seeing all the sights. Now, you might wonder, what kind of sights do you see in a huge town with how many people live here? 14 million people?
A lot.
A lot of people. And in the country, 1.2 billion. you know? And I gotta say, there's an awful lot of Chinese people around here. It's really something else, you know, seeing this.
I think what's amazing that even though there's quite a lot of tourism here right now is that most of the tourists are Chinese from other parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So as a Westerner, you still stand out quite a lot.
Yeah, and in fact, you've had quite a few encounters, I think even more than I've had, as far as people spotting you as a Westerner.
Well, I've got the weird thing that I'm 6'8", so...
There's that.
People kind of notice that, and I had, like, yesterday, a girl got pushed next to me, and then a mom ran away to take a picture of me with the little girl, and things like that. It's just kind of funny.
People just come up and ask you to pose for them. That's what they do.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, that happened twice to me today. In both cases, it were two girls who wanted to have their picture taken with me. And I said, okay, but you have to take a picture of me then. So I also have the same picture with the girls.
And that's what you got to do here. You got to bargain. And you've become very good at that, Hanukkah. I've seen you buying things in stores. And you've talked them down, I think, from like 75% or something.
Well, no, I think I still paid paid a lot of money for their standards.
But if you had paid what they asked you to pay, you would have paid a lot more than what you actually did pay.
Yeah, okay. Well, the bargaining here is not very difficult. You just go like, how much is it? And they say, it's that much. And then it will show you a higher figure and say, well, originally it was this price, but now for you, it's this. And you go like, that's a lot. And they will show you the price.
When in actuality, how much is it? It's like $3 or something.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes. Or sometimes it's like 20. And you go like, that's a lot. Yeah, but it used to be 26. And then they give you this calculator and say, okay, give your price. And you're like, 50. And they will go, what? That's outrageous.
Are you out of your mind?
And exactly.
Then what happens?
And then they will make a counter offer and lower a little bit. And you get higher a little bit, and then somewhere in the middle you'll meet.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really think it's too high, you just go like, no, I'm not interested. You just walk away. And in many
cases, they'll chase after you
with the calculator, and the price will keep dropping.
In the end, though, they throw the calculator at you, and it hits you on the head, and that's the end of that. I learned an interesting tactic. I was just looking at something. I was looking at a couple of masks, which I thought were really cool. You know, I was interested in you know, they were nice. They were nice looking things to have, little souvenirs, or actually big souvenirs in this case. And I looked at the price, and it was something like $481.
Yeah, I think it was about $50 for one mask.
And that's a lot. So this is my master negotiating technique. I say, okay, and I walked outside, and I stood outside and talked to you for a while. I didn't even realize I was haggling, but apparently by doing that, I'm haggling. So I'm standing out there talking to you, and maybe 5 minutes go by, and they come over with the same mask, and they say, 120. 120.
Yeah, quarter,
I mean, that took no effort at all, and they chopped it down. I was able to, when I went back in there, I wanted to get 2 for $100. I could not do that. The best I could do was something like $235. I could knock $5 off it.
Yeah.
That's the best I could do, and
I think the best haggling technique here would be to just take a folding chair, go to a place, say what you want to pay, and just sit down and wait for 2 hours and see if they sell it to you for that price, which they might.
Now, the money situation here is kind of nuts. There's all different kinds of money. Do you have it in your head? Because I'm still kind of lost on this.
Right now, there's like three generations of monies in circulation. Of banknotes, there's two generations, and coin-wise, I think we've seen three generations now. And which also means that for some denominations, there's a banknote and two different coins.
Yeah, two different coins, two different sizes of two different coins.
Of the same denomination.
And then a banknote for the same denomination.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the main form of currency is called?
The yuan.
The yuan, okay. Now, there's
if
something...
I pronounce it
correctly. Yeah, I'm not even sure. And I'm sorry if I'm not, but... You can even go down a little bit from there, and there's something else. What's that called?
The yao.
The yao?
Yeah.
The yao.
The yao. Okay. Now, there's how many yao to a yuan?
10 yao to a yuan.
Okay, 10.
And there's a 1 yao and a 5 yao note, and then there's coins for both 1 and 5.
Okay.
And there's 2 coins at least for 1 yao, which
okay.
is basically a tenth of a... No, it's 1 cent, I think.
Which is 1 cent?
The 1 yao.
1 yao is about 1 cent. Really?
No, it's a 10 focus in.
Well, wait, let's go back. The yuan, how much is that worth,
it's
one
about,
of those?
1 euro.
It's about 1 euro.
Ten yuan is 1 euro.
You see how mixed
euro.
Up this
see,
is?
It's all very confusing.
We divide everything by 10 to get euros. Okay. For dollars, it's a bit...
Well, then let's stick with if you pay 40 yuan for something, you're paying 4 euros.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've gotten all kinds of good food for amazingly
less
low prices.
That, yeah.
But below the yuan, there's the... What was it again?
The Yao.
Okay. And that's 10 of those per yuan. But there's something even below that. What's that called?
I have no idea.
But those are little tiny pieces of paper that are pretty much worthless, but yet they still exist.
Yeah, but we just heard a rumor about it from somebody who'd been to Beijing a lot. Did you see any?
The little tiny ones? No, I haven't, but I have the little tiny fives. Aren't those five of those ones?
No, you know, this five is, of the
those
yao.
Are five
those
yao.
Are five yaos. Okay, you know, this is just too crazy for me. I'll say this. I mailed a postcard, and I almost paid the equivalent of like $5 or 50 yuan instead of five. Because I was just so mixed up. I didn't, you know, they typed the little thing in the calculator and I had no idea what they actually meant. So you gotta be careful when you're going around these places because you never really know what you're paying.
But
people have been very honest though.
They're difficult as a tourist that there's two different one yuan notes. There's two different one yuan coins and then there's the one yao notes and coins. And it's very, they're smaller, but still it can be confusing.
Sure can. Now we've been here for a few days. I'm leaving tomorrow. Actually, I'm heading to Shanghai, which is my next stop on my round the world voyage. But you know, I wish I could spend a lot more time here because there's just so much to explore. Where have we been so far? We've just wandered
today
around
we've
the streets.
To the forbidden city, which is really impressive.
Really big. You just keep walking through these massive palaces. Well, you don't actually go in the palaces, you sort of walk around them.
Oh, there's a square with a big wall around it and a palace on each side of the square, and then you go through the palace and then there's another square with another palace and then another one, and it goes on for blocks.
Now basically. The day before that we came here for the first time, Tiananmen Square, and something really interesting happens when you're walking around, besides people pointing and staring and wanting to take pictures with you. Especially here in Tiananmen Square, it hasn't happened yet. I'll wager it'll happen at some point during this hour.
It might.
People just come up to you and they just start talking to you.
They start asking where you're from and then...
Yeah, they start pretending they want to practice their English. And they will ask where you're from. And they go like, yeah, I'm a student and I'm studying English language and Chinese art. There are actually different stories going around. Some people claim to be art students. Another guy was supposedly supposed in the National Museum. And somebody else just said, you want to see the pictures?
it's peddled like pornography, except it's art. You know, or I think it's art. I haven't actually gone over and looked at it yet.
Hopefully it's art.
Yeah, that would be. Maybe it's just like, you know, a high-scale mugging or something. Who knows what happens when you go. Well, we should, at some point, before we leave the city, we should follow them and see where they take us and what they do to us. That's just, you know, part of the experience. We have to experience things for the sake of the listeners. Again, we're standing here in Tiananmen Square, and it's such a massive, wide-open space. It really is. And the buildings are so ornate, monumental. There's a huge picture of Chairman Mao we can see from here with all kinds of writing on the walls. And red flags every place. And all these people just wandering around, taking in the sights. As you said, most of them are Chinese. Another thing that happens to us a lot, though, as we're walking around places like this, everybody who sees us, it seems, I know it's not true, but it seems that way, they all call out to us as we walk by. What do they say exactly as we walk by?
Most people just go, hello, hello.
Yeah.
And then they have postcards or other stuff.
They have postcards, they have books, they have coins, they have stamps, and they even have watches with Chairman Mao on them. And
is that a policeman going through the trash? That's what it looks like.
It's not a policeman.
Well, he's got a policeman's hat.
Okay, but...
And he's got a stick. Well, okay, maybe that's not a policeman. But he was going through the trash. All right, just pointing that out because that's what I do.
People do that a lot here. And we find that if you have like a plastic bottle of water and it's finished, you shouldn't throw it in the trash. You should give it to somebody because there's multiple persons walking around who collect these bottles. And I don't know if they recycle them. I think they just get some money for the plastic, because they squeeze them to get as many as they can in their bags.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that, seeing all the people just going around collecting those things.
Which
not glass,
keeps
just
the place quite clean though, which is really good, I think.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, getting back to the people who call out to us, this happens as soon as we leave the hotel we're staying at, because people want to give us rides in the various vehicles, and you know they run after you sometimes. Sometimes they grab you by the arm, and they think that because, well, first of all, they assume that we speak English just because we look Westernized, which I guess you know most people in the West do.
Well, they're Asian and they speak English, so.
Well, they speak some English anyway.
Yeah,
they know how to say hello at least,
exactly.
And they know how to run after you and. You know, but it gets kind of annoying after a while because it seems like everyone's just trying to sell you something.
Well, in a way, it's really friendly, but if people are too friendly all of the time, it's just kind of wacky.
I don't like being grabbed and dragged into a place. You know, I think that's where I draw the line. I'm walking down the street when a saleswoman runs out and grabs me and pulls me into a store. I think that's crossing the border.
What happened to me yesterday at a big supermarket here, which was pretty funny, I was looking around to get some drinks to put in the hotel fridge and staring at the aisle with all the Coke and Pepsi and whatever stuff in it. This lady comes up to me working at the grocery store, grabs me by the arm, pulls me away, basically two or three aisles over, and proudly says, "Beer." And I'm kind of like, okay, I'm not interested in beer. She was all disappointed, and it was very funny.
I guess you look like you might be interested in beer.
I might have, yeah.
Everybody likes beer.
Yeah. Oh, look at the kite. No, thank you, but that's very nice. He came over and showed us his kite. That's something else around, not just around here, but throughout the city, like at a busy intersection, you'll see someone just casually flying a kite, you know? And I don't know how that got started. I don't know, how can I start that back home? That's what I'd really like to be able to do, is just stand on the corner of 5th Avenue and 23rd Street, just, you know, flying a kite and see what the cops have to say about that.
Just go ahead. Might be,
I bet you can get a whole stack here for 10 cents a piece.
Oh, I'm sure I can.
We've been offered the kites tonight almost 5, 6, 7 times within 2 minutes.
What I wonder is how do they you know, get the running start to get the thing to take off when they're in the middle of a busy intersection? That's got to be difficult.
Yeah. Well, there might be some secret manual involved there.
Now, something else that they do here, which isn't so pleasant, they make all kinds of bodily sounds. I don't mean to, you know, be dismissive or anything like that, but it's true. If you walk around the street, you wanna give us the sound, Sasha?
I think the sound for me of China I'll remember is
yeah,
which you'll hear
very well done
everywhere on the street.
Well, we heard that on the train coming in. It seemed as soon as we crossed the Mongolian border, that must have been the signal, because everybody, you know, walking down the aisles and, you know, even in my own cabin with a couple other people. I don't know if they ever actually spit or if they just make that noise. But
I think it's very interesting that there's a lot of no spitting signs everywhere on the subway, for example, right now. And people still do make the noise but then spit into the garbage bin, which is kind of considerate, of course, but you still have to hear the noise all the time. So
I've seen some pretty big loogies on the ground. I got to say, it's kind of
disgusting. That's why they all buy a newspaper for 10 cents and then sit on the newspaper instead of just reading it.
I noticed that in the square. People sit down. They don't sit on the ground. They buy a newspaper and they sit on a newspaper. That's an interesting little habit that's developed. What do you think of the technology here? I have internet in my room. Actually, you're supposed to have internet in your room.
We're supposed to have internet in our room, but the Ethernet wall socket doesn't work. And we've spent about 2-3 hours trying to explain them, and they don't now know that the wall socket doesn't work, but that's where the story basically ends.
Every time we try to explain again that the internet doesn't work, they explain us, "Oh, you have to make a deposit." Yes, we did that. "Ah, you need a cable." "We have a cable." "Ah, a different cable." "We've tried a different cable."
"Internet okay?"
"Mm." "How about a different room?" "Maybe a different hotel."
Like yesterday, we spent about 2 hours trying to resolve the problem, and then when front desk eventually called me to ask if it worked, I said, "No, it's still not working."
You see, you got the room I was supposed to get, because I plugged in and it started working immediately. That never happens to me.
But the fun thing was then she asked, "Okay, is it working?" I said, "No, it's not working." It's like, "Can you try unplug cable and plug it back in?" I just did. "It still doesn't work." "Okay." And she just hang up. And I'm like, okay, what else do you do now? I don't really mind that much that it doesn't work, but it's very annoying to have an Ethernet wall socket which doesn't work. So like, I'd rather not.
Well,
just
you
not
even
have one, but
you even moved up from what, the fourth floor to be on the seventh floor.
Mostly because we're just above the karaoke nightclub the hotel has, and that was pretty annoying. It's like loud music and the sound of horses dying all through the night. And
yeah, those people were having a lot of fun.
What's this? What do you have there?
Ooh.
Water?
Ooh.
How much is the water?
How much?
The failure.
Five?
Five.
Five.
Okay.
That's expensive.
Okay. No, that's a lot.
Yeah, nah, that's okay. We're not thirsty anyway.
How much?
How much do you want? Will we pay? Two?
Three.
Three. All
three.
Right. Well, I guess that's
three
how it works.
Okay.
Do you have three? I don't have access to my change at the moment. Yeah. Drive a hard bargain. This will be our water. We'll share
price
this.
Goes up at night.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh,
three.
Okay.
And there
you
are. Thank you.
Shashi?
One's fine. One's fine.
Oh,
best.
Might have
quit while you're ahead, because that's all we're going to get.
We might have just...
Were we taken?
We
taken for a ride? How much do we pay for that water? $50?
No, 3 yuan, but we might have gotten 2 bottles for the 3 yuan.
Oh, you think she meant two for...
Two for five.
That's
probably
why she's chortling like that and doing a little dance.
I think she's a bit drunk.
Maybe she can drink the other water. Get her sober.
Now, you see, we're just standing here in Tiananmen Square, minding our own business, and people come up to us, want to sell us kites, want to sell us, water. And, I guess the only reason we're not getting the National Museum offers is because they're closed now.
No, I think the main reason nobody is really coming up to us is because we're in almost in a corner, and like 10-meter radius outside of us, there's nobody there.
Yeah, if we were to actually start walking, which I'd like to do, but there's a problem with the microphone cable, and if I start walking, it's going to make static, and, you know, maybe it's just for the best. And I should point out also, unlike Piccadilly, unlike Red Square, I don't have the humongous microphone now. I have a little clip-on, so it's not so obvious. All right, so we're being discreet. It's also nighttime or evening, so... You know, we're taking precautions.
Yeah,
I'm so sick of being hassled.
There's
every
a lot
place.
Of video cameras around here, though, and at night I have seen very few guards and cops. During the day, it's crawling with the guys, but right now I'm looking around, but I don't see
very much of a police presence. I see a lot of crossing guards. Every block seems to have a crossing guard. I see all kinds of security guards. I do see the occasional policeman, but. You know, it's not like New York. It's not like a lot of cities in the States where they're everywhere and you see them everywhere. Maybe they're, you know, around someplace and I don't see them.
No, they probably are.
Uh-huh.
Well, then, I think what was interesting during the day is that there's so many guards around here, and there's two guards walking around with a big kettle and a cup, passing out tea to all the guards. So they fill the cup, guard could drink a cup of tea, and then they'd move on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just pretty interesting that they do it that way, not give them plastic bottles or something, just bring them a cup of tea. And
well, tea is very important here. It's even more important here than in England. And what do you think of the tea so far? You satisfied with it?
Oh, yes, I am. The only thing I'm not satisfied with is my knowledge of the Chinese language.
Uh-huh. Well, it's interesting you should say that, because I took Chinese back in college, and bits of it are coming back to me. And it's really cool when you look at a character and you realize, you know what that character is. Like the character from Men, for instance, is sort of like an open box. And Men is also plural. For instance, Ni is you. So Ni Men would be you as in you too. Not the band, but, you know, more than one person. It's a suffix. And you add that to the character for Ni. And so Tian Men is plural of whatever Tian means, whatever that symbol is, and you'll see that at the end. So, you know, it is logical, it's modular, you kind of plug it all together. And it seems like something that, I remember when I took it, I was amazed at the simplicity of it and also the complexity of it, because it does get kind of crazy after a while. But it's one of those languages I think if I really sat down and concentrated, I could actually learn. Speaking it is difficult because you got all those different inflections and things. But again, you know, with concentration, I think you can pull anything off.
It's interesting to see how many, when we went to the bookstores, how many English books they sell.
Oh my God.
Like one of the books, it was a really big bookstore. It was like 6-7 floors, but one floor was basically guidebooks to learn English.
And computer programs and CDs and tapes.
Yep.
It seems like that's the main thrust. And of course, this city is going to be in the international spotlight in another 3 years,
yep,
big time, right, when the Olympics come here. I imagine that there's a big push to have the city be as international as possible. A lot of people speaking English.
Some of the English course books kind of were worrying, though. There was like the one big series, it's called Crazy English.
Crazy English.
Oh, it's kind of like, okay, well, you're going to learn that one. And then we saw a book called Crack Vocabulary. So it's all, yeah, makes you wonder what kind of stuff's in there. And
I think you're going to find out. Didn't you buy one of those?
No, I bought a collected set of Bush speeches they have with transcripts to learn English.
Now, they're using Bush speeches to learn English by.
Let's put it the other way. Voice of America issues them so the Chinese can learn English by listening to Bush, which might not be the best source of proper spoken English, but
I really don't think it is.
It's interesting that they sell the stuff.
It's not too complicated. I think that's why it's suitable.
But it's also mostly wrong. I mean, you know, the grammar is awful. There are words that don't even exist sometimes.
But if he can get president or become president with his English, what can the Chinese do when they talk English like him? A lot. There's like 1.2
billion. Can you imagine that? A nation of 1.2 billion people speaking like George W. Bush?
Yeah. Who knows?
Oh,
it might happen.
That is a scary thought.
I think it's already happening. If you look at the signs that are translated from Chinese into English, there are the weirdest constructions and translations. Very funny things.
Anything come to mind?
Of course, not right now.
Well,
in the Forbidden City, they had like big kettles, which you were not allowed to touch or scratch. And they said something like old artifacts, no scratch. And it was full of scratches, but it was kind of, they probably meant do not scratch, but there was all kinds of things like that.
And they had something for irreplaceable artifacts.
What was the name again?
They said these artifacts are irretrievable.
Irretrievable, yeah. Well, they're just
well,
next
I guess
to the sign.
If you take them, you know, they are irretrievable, but they meant irreplaceable. But we shouldn't make fun, because
I'm really glad they actually have dual language signs everywhere, and that I think it's called Pingling, the translation to Roman capitals.
Yeah, and you know, riding the subway, the subway is very small for this city. I'm surprised at that. There's only three lines, line 1, line 2, and of course, line 13. I don't understand that, but regardless, I expected something so much bigger.
There are big plans, probably.
Big plans. But it's so easy. It's so well marked. You're on the subway station, and there's a pillar right in front of the door that says the name of the station, both in Chinese and in English, and what the next station is. There are maps in every car. They even light up to tell you what the next station is going to be. They announce it in both Chinese and in English. It's.
I think for me, as being a tourist here and having been to, for example, to New York, mm-hmm, it's the subway is easier to use here than it is in New York. The subway system is a lot bigger, of course.
Right.
When you stop at a station here, you look outside, okay, I'm at that station, and the next one's that station. And in New York, when you look outside in the subway,
being
a lot of times you have no
again,
idea
being approached again.
Which station you're at.
What do you got here?
You want to buy a kite?
No, I don't need a kite, no.
There you go.
I'm afraid of heights. Yeah, you know, that's very nice, but it's butterfly.
Fish.
That's good too. But no, I'm not the kite type. I'm just not.
No, thank you,
sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have yourself a nice day. And if we were walking around, like I said, you know, they'd be flocking to us, sometimes two or three at a time. But here we're standing sort of in a dark area of Tiananmen Square, and they're still finding us, they're still coming up to us. The place is absolutely mobbed with people. Well, it's not, you know, jam-packed, but there's a lot of people here milling about, just kind of enjoying the summer air. It's quite a contrast to where we were last week. Last week we were in a gare in the middle of a country which a lot of people would say is in the middle of nowhere to start with. So we were in the wilds of Mongolia, talking from inside a tent, and in the middle of the wilderness, in the middle of you know, this amazing place. And now here we are. Is this the biggest city in the world?
I have no idea, actually.
14 million people.
I know that Shanghai surpassed our native port of Rotterdam in Holland as being the biggest seaport in the world, like 1 or 2 years ago, which kind of bummed out a lot of people back in Holland. Just put it mildly, but no, they're doing really well economy-wise. And I don't know if it's the biggest city. It's one of the biggest cities, I think, but it's one of the things we should Google up. But then again, my internet connection is not working, so.
Yeah, well, mine is, and it's interesting. When you use Google, you immediately go to the Chinese Google. And
but
yes, there is a Chinese
it
Google.
So in most countries, though.
Yeah, that's true. But I've never seen a Chinese Google before.
I think what would be a good thing is to see if Chinese Google comes up with different results for searches, which it probably does, because I think there's an agreement between Google and the Chinese government to do so.
And there's an agreement between Yahoo and the Chinese government as well. But maybe I'll try that on my last night. I just didn't want to, you know, try too much and risk the wrath.
The only thing I noticed on your laptop which didn't work is that news.bbc.co.uk doesn't work.
That's right.
And the DNS entry just, the DNS service just don't give a reply back for that.
But BBC World does. That goes through.
Yeah, but
and that gives you the headlines.
Can't block it all.
That gives you the headlines at least. But if you click on the headlines, of course, then it goes to the other site, and that doesn't work. So yeah, it's a challenge. Television. There are so many TV channels run by CCTV, which is the state-owned.
Yeah, it's Central China Television.
Yeah, and I think we get up to CCTV 12.
I think there's up to 12, and there's one or two named ones which don't have a number. And I'm not really sure we have the entire set of 1 to 12, though. But so it should be around 12. Yeah.
But we don't get any English channels. We don't get any CNN.
CCTV 9 in English.
CCTV 9 is a Chinese channel that broadcasts in English. It's an international news channel. But there's not all that much news on it, mostly documentaries. And yesterday they had a press conference that lasted about 5 hours, all about the women's rights or something like that. It was very dry. It just just went on and on, and I just wanted to know, you know, what was going on in the world.
So it's I was pretty mostly surprised that there's a lot of commercials on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Way more than I thought there would be, and especially during the daytime, there's actually telcel kind of stuff on. And I saw one really scary thing. It's like normally on telcel you see all these fitness devices, and I heard that a bench you could lie on, you could put your feet in a kind of clamp. Put a clamp around your chin, and then there was a wheel underneath the bench you could turn. And there, I've seen two different ads for it. One was for elderly people against like back pains, and the other ad was aimed at younger people to get taller.
To get taller?
Yeah, you could basically, this is a bench to stretch yourself out.
Sounds like a torture device.
A self-torture device. But it was very interesting to see that, and also a bit sad, I think. But.
Well, something that's a little more constructive is what you find in playgrounds. They have, and this is the most incredible thing, and I really wish they'd bring this to the States. Instead of, you know, your swings and your monkey bars and various other, whatever the kids are using these days, they have these exercise devices. And you can basically, you know, they're not plugged in or anything. They're totally non-electronic. You can walk on a little, like, treadmill type thing. You can stretch.
Yeah, there's like leg presses and an exercise bike and kind of like a walking thing, and basically half a gym, and it's free and outside in the park.
And free and outside, and people
really
use
good.
It.
Yeah,
people,
definitely.
Young people, old people, everybody is just around exercising, and that's good for you. Exercising is good,
definitely.
And it's good not to have to go to a gym and deal with all, you know, the people staring at you, or, you know, having to pay lots of money or whatever it is that you don't like gyms for.
Yeah.
Or having to go inside a building, or having to keep to certain hours. This is inside a park. You just go to whenever you feel like it.
I was very surprised to see that. We also saw those in a small park in Ulaanbaatar in Mongolia. And yeah, it's very much in the sense of communist governments, I think. But it's still, not all of communist ideology. I mean, it's bad. There's some good stuff like that, and which is very, very useful. And I wish back home we had stuff like that too, and not just stuff to earn money. And it's a good mix. It's like actually some stuff for the people,
which absolutely.
A park should be.
Absolutely. So I know you guys have to go pretty soon, but we actually have somebody else coming up.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Hi.
Ah, it's another kite seller.
No thanks.
No, we're fine. Casing. No, we don't need any kites. We're just fine. Sometimes you have to be a little mean. But
yeah,
that's
we were pretty polite.
Yeah, but you know, we kind of just, you know, said no to his face like that. I think
gave him like my nicest smile.
Yeah, as you dashed his hopes to the ground. But it had to be done.
Dashing politely is better than dashing rude, isn't it?
It certainly is. But now you guys, this is our last night together.
Yes,
so we basically split up at this point. We've been traveling together since Moscow, And here we are in Beijing. We've done the entire Trans-Siberian Express.
Trans-Mongolian Express.
Trans-Mongolian Express. We didn't do the Trans-Manchurian Express because that's the one that bypasses Mongolia. We're going to go our separate ways after the next day. And I guess, you know, the next show, I think I'm going to be in Japan for the next show. I'm pretty sure I'll be in Japan.
And, next week? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you have to understand, we tape the shows a little bit in advance because it takes time to get them ready and upload them. And, you know, if I'm going to be on a boat or something, obviously I'm not going to have the kind of access that I need to upload a huge file. So you got to sort of take that into account. Plus, we also want to do it from the most interesting places. And, you know,
that's... Have like on TV when they have the big blinking recorded live.
doesn't really work on the radio, though.
But I always think it's really funny on TV when they have stuff like that, because everything's recorded live, just edited afterwards, but...
Yeah, it's true. Any closing thoughts on China, on the trip in general, on the world, anything?
Well, I think it's been an amazing trip so far, and you get to go through different countries, and in each country it's a different experience, different people, different languages, different way of, well, how people behave, and well, it's really very interesting. I would recommend it to everybody.
Yeah, you know, you got to find the time somehow, and it's not even that expensive. I mean, I find myself spending so little money in places like this. I'm in a major city, and you know, I can eat like a king for $5. It's simply incredible. Of course, you know, the time factor, that's a pain for a lot of people, but it's priorities. You know, if you want to see the world's here for you to see. So figure out a way to do it, and that's one thing I got to credit you guys with. You see the world. That's important.
You know what's very cool? If you take the train, you just see the world changing as you go by, as opposed to flying in a plane where you get in, you're above the clouds for a few hours, and then you're like teletransported into another country, and boom, you're there. But now you really are living on this train for a few days, for a week, and you see the world changing as it goes by your window.
Absolutely. And we saw the landscape changing. We saw it changing. Oh, the cops are coming by, driving by in a van. Pretty high speed. That's Tompkins Square Park speed there. Well, it is. Wow, look at them go. They have these...
It's nice to have their lights on. So.
They have their lights on, yeah, that's true. They have these big police vans all over the park. Just watching, I guess. Ooh. And, okay, so getting back to the trip, yeah, the landscape changed from forest, birch forest, to farm fields, to little towns and cities, to desert.
Yep. Very dry desert.
And the language change, you see, like, all of a sudden the station is in a different language than the last one, and the language on the train changes, the people around you start to look different.
Definitely.
And it's fascinating because I've been on a train off and on ever since I left England, and here I am in Beijing, and I haven't crossed any ocean, I've just pretty much been on the rails the whole time. Of course, that's going to change once I get to Shanghai. I have to take a boat up to Tokyo or Osaka, and then Tokyo, and then a real long boat after that.
Impression of how big the world actually is, and I think, yeah, it's kind of might be a very stereotypical thing to say, but especially for Americans, I think it's really worthwhile to travel outside of your home country, even though there's so much to see in the U.S. and it's basically almost its own continent. But it's just so good to see that there's other parts of the world, other people, and see why they might like you or might not like you.
So far, everyone has liked us. Of course, you're not American,
but
I am American, and you know, I haven't had any issues with people about anything. Not that I expected to, really. But you know, one thing I think I've gotten out of this is that I realize I always thought the United States was big. It's small compared to the rest of the world.
Compared to Russia and China, definitely. Yeah,
yeah. And just, you know, traveling around the globe like I'm doing, you know, I'll be traveling across the United States. But when I actually arrive in Long Beach, I'm going to feel like I'm home, even though I'm on the other side of the country. And that just tells you how small the world can really get.
Definitely, yeah. It's very interesting to just see how big the differences can be and also how similar a lot of things are. And it's not even just the fact that there's McDonald's here, but there's like a lot of the way stores are laid out and stuff like that, even though it's a Chinese store.
Boy, are we getting stared at?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
People just walk by and they just, like, their eyes pop out of their head, and they're still looking at us as they walk by. They turn around.
Yeah.
What do we have, two heads on our necks?
Might have.
Well, it feels that way. It really does. I, you know, this would never happen in the States. You wouldn't go and point at people because they look a little different. I guess this town is still getting used to foreigners.
Yeah, and we don't have to stare at the Chinese because we have a lot of Chinese people at home. So we're just walking around and seeing nothing weird. And they are all looking at us like, whoa, weird foreigners.
It's certainly true. And there's some weird skaters there. Wow.
Short track.
Yeah. A lot of people skate in this town.
They are going really fast.
They really are going fast. Look at them go. Boy. Well, this park is good for all kinds of things. Annika, Sasha, I want to say it's been so much fun having you guys around.
Absolutely.
And
that's good.
Yeah. You're going to walk around the park a little bit, and I guess I'm going to say a few words to the listener.
Okay.
A little one-to-one thing here.
The intimate part of the show.
Yes. Well, we have some business to cover, I suppose. But, I guess I'll catch up to you a little later. Maybe you walk around that part there, and by the time you get back, the show will probably be over.
Okay.
But I expect to hear back from you as to the status of your further travels.
We'll definitely do that.
And we'll talk on the radio again.
Okay. Well, bye-bye for now to everybody. It's been fun doing this. And we're going to explore Beijing a bit more now.
Yes, there's more to explore.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. See you later. Bye. They're getting really far away now. Wow, there they go. Well, I'm still here in Tiananmen Square. And I didn't really want to get into this while Hanukkah and Sasha were here, because I didn't want to turn this into a whole big, diatribe like I'm known to do on this program. And I also, I feel more comfortable when we have conversations just between the two of us, the listener and me, because there really is only one listener out there, and that listener, of course, is you. So it's true. It really is. But I just want to say that here I am in Tiananmen Square, and I'm not going to round out the whole hour by saying how nice and pleasant everything is, because we know that that's not entirely true. We know that there's a history here, and it's a tarnished history. Now, let me just be clear about one thing. I've had an immense amount of fun in this country, an immense amount of fun in this city. The people are great. What they've accomplished here is simply incredible. Not just over the past few years, but over the past 50 or so years, ever since the People's Republic was founded. I'm impressed by it all. But the whole thing has to be acknowledged when there are problems, when there are issues, when there are parts of your history that you should not be proud of. And there are lots of instances of that here, but especially where I am standing now. I'm standing in a park that, for all I know, I could be standing, on the very spot where people were killed here back in 1989. And that's just something I don't feel right not commenting on, especially standing here. Now, let me be clear about something else. It's not my place in this country to tell people how to run their country. I mean, that's just, you don't go someplace and just thrust your opinions and your values on somebody. That's more a George W. Bush thing to do. It's true, it really is. But as a world citizen, I think we all have the obligation to speak out in whatever way we can to let the world know. It's up to the people here to actually make a change, to petition their government, to acknowledge what has happened here. And that's what really bothers me, is that I'm standing here in this amazing park, this huge park, this historical place, and nowhere is there an inscription, is there a memorial, or anything to the people who have perished here. And their only crime, whether you agree with them or not, whether they were right, whether they were wrong, let's assume for the moment they were wrong, their only crime was thinking that their actions could produce a change that they wanted. That was their crime. Now, they were unarmed, they were young, they were idealistic, and they were mowed down by tanks and guns and soldiers and all kinds of other things. So now what has happened in the years since? Well, precious little. In fact, the United States still has China as the most favored nation status. And I think the results can be seen right here with all kinds of economic booming that's a good thing, the economic booming. It's good to see people, you know, walking around and having fun and things like that. But it's bad to forget. It's bad to forget about the things that have happened, about the sacrifices some people have made, about the victims that have perished along the way. And I feel the same way in the States about things that are wrong, about wars that are started, about people who basically were victimized in one way or another and never acknowledged. Now, it doesn't matter if we're talking about 10 people or 1,000 people. The point is, you have to recognize when something wrong happens, and something very wrong happened in this spot 15 years ago. Was it 15 years ago? No, it was 16 years ago. Long time ago. But I think it's vitally important that we don't let that go. Now, that doesn't mean being obnoxious about it, doesn't mean disrupting and embarrassing and doing all kinds of things that are confrontational. It just means not forgetting. And I really hope that the people here find a way to acknowledge that. You know, it doesn't mean that the type of government has to change. It doesn't mean that what they are doing here right now is wrong. But I can point to a lot of things that are wrong. A lot of things, such as the RTL, the re-education through labor that they have here. Boy, I could go on about that for a while. I've been doing some reading about it, and it's scary. I mean, there's just no other way to phrase this. And keep in mind, I have to talk kind of carefully here because I am in the middle of this park, and some people are walking by looking at me. But basically, if the police so choose, they can have you taken away and put in a labor camp until you're re-educated, in quotes. What does that mean? Don't know exactly, but a lot of people have fallen victim to that. As we've mentioned earlier, there's all kinds of internet censorship, there's all sorts of control of the way people act, the way people think. The enemy of the day might be Japan. This is the 60th anniversary of the end of the war of aggression. Now, okay, that's something to acknowledge, but Japan has been apologizing for that quite a bit lately, and China refuses to see that, and basically is getting its citizens to rise up against the Japanese and think of them as the enemy. It's just an example of you know, the kind of control that you see when people are basically under the kind of government that is very good at that. When you have nothing but state television, when you have pretty much an iron fist rule, as we have here, it's not hard to do that. And it's also something that I see increasingly in the States. I see people who are questioning being maligned as the problem, as the potential evildoers. I see people in England saying that the shoot-to-kill policy is correct, the policy that killed the innocent Brazilian guy. You know, we live in a world that's starting to go kind of insane, and it's important when that happens that we speak up and say something about it, because otherwise it just happens and stays that way, and things don't get better, things don't improve. It was a real tragedy what happened here back in the 80s, but an even worse tragedy is forgetting about it, is not acknowledging it, is making those people's lives meaningless and worthless. So, Emmanuel, what's the solution? Is it another invasion, perhaps? Well, you know, let me say that that's a really stupid question. I don't know what you're smoking to be asking a question like that. Of course not. In the United States, is absolutely no high moral ground to preach at this point. We've pretty much lost that. But there are other entities, there are other ways of getting the word out and of putting pressure on these people in various parts of the world, no matter which particular governments they represent, whether it's the States, whether it's here in China, whether it's Russia, whether it's all kinds of other places where systematic abuses of human rights occur. Pressure has to be put on in some way. Now, it's great to see progress being made. It's great to see friendly people welcoming you. But there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. If you want to have good relations, you have to have mutual respect and mutual respect of basic rights. And unfortunately, that's not the case here, not yet. Will strides be made? Hopefully. Hopefully that will be the case. We'll just have to, I guess, wait and see. But anyway, I was able to say all that without being taken away. So I guess, you know, that means either I'm good at keeping my voice down or it's not quite the way it's portrayed, where as soon as you raise your voice, somebody is overhearing and rushing towards you. I have to admit, I feel a little nervous standing here. I will say, though, that if I were to unfurl a banner or something like that, or start doing something that was noticeable, well, then you'd start to see a very different society. And that's the kind of thing that if it matters, if that kind of freedom matters to the people here, I hope they speak up and do something about it. That's going to pretty much do it for us here tonight. I do want to do something that I never thought I'd be able to do, and that's intro a song that has to do with what happened here back in 1989. And it's one of my all-time favorite Roger Waters songs about those events. And it just kind of points out to me the urgency of paying attention, of knowing what's going on in the world today, knowing something about the history, and caring enough to do something about it. It's called Watching TV, Roger Waters, from News to Death. It's Emmanuel Goldstein for Off the Wall. We'll talk again next week. Good night.
We were watching TV. Watching TV. We were watching TV. Watching TV. Tiananmen Square, lost my baby there. My yellow rose and her bloodstained clothes. She was a short order pastry chef in a dim sun dive on the Yangtze Tideway. She had shiny hair, she was the daughter of an engineer. Won't you shed a tear for my yellow rose, my yellow rose, and her bloodstained clothes. She had perfect breasts, she had high hopes, she had almond eyes, she had yellow thighs. She was a student of philosophy. Won't you grieve with me for my yellow rose? Shed a tear for her bloodstained clothes. She had shiny hair, she had perfect breasts, she had high hopes, she had almond eyes, she had yellow thighs. She was the daughter of an engineer. So get out your pistols, get out your stones, get out your knives, cut them to the bone. They are the lackeys of the grocer's machine. They built the dark satanic mills that Banyard Fetcher hell on earth. They bought the front row seats on Calvary. They are irrelevant to me. We were watching TV. Watching TV. We were watching TV. Watching TV. She wore a white bandana that said freedom now. She thought the Great Wall of China would come tumbling down. She was a student of
father was an engineer. Won't you shed a tear for my yellow rose, my yellow rose, and her blood-stained clothes. Her grandpa fought old Chiang Kai-shek, that no-good, low-down, dirty rat, who used to order his troops to fire on the women and children. Imagine that. Imagine that. And in the spring of 48, Mao Zedong got quite irate, and he kicked that old dictator Chiang out of the state of China. Chiang Kai-shek came down in Formosa, and they owned the island of Quemoy. Shells flying across the China Sea, and they turned Formosa into a shoe factory called Taiwan. And she is different from Cro-Magnon Man. She's different from Anne Boleyn. She's different from the Rosenbergs and from the unknown Jew. She's different from the unknown Nicaraguan. Half superstar, half victim. She's a picture star, conceptual angel. She is different from the dodo and from the cancabono. She's different from the Aztec and from the Cherokee. She's everybody's sister. She's symbolic of a failure. She's the one in 15 million who can help us to be free. Because she died on TV.